homosexual preferences that are actually not members of, functioning members of the gay community. They never go to gay bars. They never see what they consider another homosexual. They simply are in the closet all their lives. Are they considered in the gay community?
I think the key word there is your own word.
Open Air, a program of public access to television, where people express their views on issues of local interest. If you'd like to participate in the Open Air series, call 387-1300. Tonight, Gay Liberation, Sexual Revolution, the moderator, Dancing Bear.
But those who do function well and do socialize within the community with other people, you know, they are very definite members of the community.
When you said, do you consider yourself as a gay person, have a unity in
most definitely. I think just I'm not in the gay community from 9 to 5, obviously, but my life after 5 o'clock is the gay community. This is where I live. This is where I socialize. This is my function of life.
The word community, and the phrase gay community, implies a community of interest and a community of oppression. And that those are the two things that we have in common and that create the gay community. And that to me seems to be the starting point for the whole, for everything that we'll be discussing this evening.
The gay community. Well, that I think is sort of a place where we can take off from. What is the gay liberation movement?
Within the gay community.
Well, or even more generally, what's gay liberation?
I think when you talk about gay liberation or the gay community, you talk about, you know, what Frank said, a community of people that's bound together both by their oppression and by goals that they have that they want to reach, you know, together.
To fight the oppression.
To fight the oppression that comes down on people. You talk about sexual freedom, which we as gay people are struggling to achieve in a variety of different ways. You talk about stopping legal discrimination, housing discrimination that gay people face in Washington and in every city in the country. I think you talk about, you know, activities that gay people are doing and lifestyles that gay people are trying to create. And this is one example.
Well, I think basically it is the gay community and the gay community alone that's going to fight. We're not talking about the straight community getting out. We're talking about the gay community. And this is where the strength lies.
And are you talking about a more overall movement, or are you talking about the gay revolution itself?
Well, wouldn't you consider the gay revolution the gay movement?
Yeah. No, I meant what I'm trying to get at is when you talk about these are the ones who are going to fight, what exactly is the fight, and how does it relate to homosexuality as a sexual attitude?
Go ahead.
I
think that you'll find, of course, and the point probably should be made very clear to the audience for this program, that there are going to be a great many differences in the answers to all the questions that you just asked. And so probably something should be made very, very clear, and that is that the gay community has in common their gayness, their homosexuality. Beyond that, they're a broad and varied community. Look around you at the clothes we're wearing. I think that indicates as much as anything else. And therefore, I think every one of us, each one of us here, speaks for some homosexuals, and no one of us here speaks for all homosexuals. And I think that should be very much kept in mind. And that you'll find differences in view here, just as you find in the whole community, just as you find in the black community, just as you find in the other community. But we have in common certain oppressions, certain abuses, which are directed against us as homosexuals, which is the other thing that we have in common. And I think that that's going to underlie everything that we say throughout the remainder of this 30 minutes.
As far as I'm concerned, the only thing that all homosexuals have in common is either an emotional and or an erotic attraction to members of the same sex. And that attraction may not be an exclusive attraction. May be simply a preference, but you may go to bed with both sexes, but just prefer one or the other. So that's the only thing that they have in common.
Yeah. Sort of the key issue within the gay movement, though, is something which I think is a struggle against sexism, which is something which I think most of us share in being concerned about. And a lot of us are working with consciousness-raising groups and trying to break down the typical male and female roles that we've been raised with in the society, which we find to be oppressive and which we find to lead towards. Like, as a man, I know the kinds of things that have been put into my head all my life, which cause me to want to build up a strong masculine image, which involves a lot of ego and which involves wanting to have power over other people. And I can relate those kind of things directly to my being a man in the society. And those are things which we have to try to be aware of, I think, and try to get out of there.
I think that brings up a very important point, which is one of the things people very often ask when I give lectures and the like, well, what are some of the advantages of being gay? And, well, there are all kinds of answers you can give. One of them, I think, ties in beautifully with what you just said, and that is, in our society, as a male or as a female, you're supposed to be this, 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 not that, and you're not supposed to be that, 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 not this. And inside the gay community, at least, these limitations are very, very, very much diminished, and you can be a much broader human being without having to worry about being put down by the people around you. You can be much more as you want to be without having to worry, is this male, is this female?
I disagree.
And I think there's considerably more freedom for gay people functioning in their own gay community.
Yeah, within the gay community. Say that, within the gay
within
community.
Oh, that's what I mean, within the gay community,
okay.
Emphatically.
But when you're walking out on the street, it's an entirely different story.
For the present.
Right. Well, I'm not so sure that there is that greater choice within the gay community, because I see too many people in the gay community who feel that they have to be butch identified, or they have to identify with the people who wear a lot of leather, or they have to be men who identify with women who wear long dresses, or they have to be this, or they have to be that. And people who wander through the gay community with no particular orientation in terms of butch, femme, straight-looking, gay-looking, revolutionary, non-revolutionary.
Yeah.
The kind of schlep male homosexuals and schlep lesbians have no identification. I think they're the only ones who have the freedom. I see so many gay people.
Yes, but I think there are a lot more people like that in the gay community than in the straight community.
I think what we're saying, though, too, is that there's a variety of different styles which we can create for ourselves, and there's a tremendous opportunity that we have to break down typical male-female roles.
And
I think
the gay community welcomes that variety considerably more than the
straight
community.
There is no one gay lifestyle, I think is what we're trying to say.
Right.
And people so often try to type us or specify what is gay and what isn't gay and what we're supposed to look like and how we're supposed to act. This is completely wrong.
I think this leads back into what Michael was saying before, though. He was talking about gay revolution. Well, gay revolution is a kind of an entirely different mind think and an entirely different lifestyle than the homophile movement.
Sure.
or even the gay movement. And I think we better be very careful when we're talking tonight if we're talking about homophile movement, gay movement, or gay revolution, because they're three different types of things, and we're likely to get ourselves very confused about the audience.
Well, what I was just going to say, that we could come back then to the sort of the common denominator of homosexuality. I wanted to ask what brought people here, for example, to become homosexuals. I think people in this society always think as homosexuals as deviants, as people who are outside the norm and somehow are perverted in some sense. What's involved in coming out to be gay, and what's involved with that attitude?
I think it involves mainly understanding that there are positive things, that there are very good things about being gay, and I think people come at that from a lot of different angles. For me, it was like a year of getting involved in radical politics and knowing women in the women's liberation movement who really, you know, first came out and said that we don't like the way that women are treated in our society. And this gave, you know, me the courage and the strength that I needed to come out as a gay person and say that I'm not going to, you know, relate to people in a typical aggressive male fashion, but that I want to create an alternative for myself, and I want to create an alternative with other gay people with women in our society, with people that are oppressed because of their sex or because of their sexual orientation.
I think one of the most important things in answering your question, in part, in a way, is self-discovery. And I feel particularly with regard to younger people, and this is becoming more possible now, the subject is talked about, than it was even as little as 3 to 5 years ago. For young people to know where they stand at an early age and then start to build their lives with their homosexuality instead of building their lives against their homosexuality. And I think this is critically important, and this whole process of self-discovery is a very, very important one. The opposite extreme is one of our members of the Mattachine Society a few years back who didn't realize he was gay until he was 58 years old. Well, I think that's tragic, and he would have been far better off if he'd known about it 45 years sooner.
I think just what we were talking about before, the self-awareness, and to know in your heart that you are not abnormal, you're not a prevert, and that you're a decent, healthy, normal human being is a very, very important thing that's happening with the younger gays today. I know if I didn't believe that, I wouldn't be out. But I honestly believe there's nothing wrong with me. Mm-hmm. And that's why I had a
phone call the other day from a youngster in his teens, and his every second question was, is this normal? Is this normal? Is this normal? And I assured him at every step that yes, it was, and it eventually penetrated, and you could practically see almost the sigh of relief that yes, it was all right, and that what he was interested in, what he wanted to do, and what he enjoyed was fine, he should go ahead and do it. And this, I think, is very important.
People, I think when we talk about, like, just, you know, normalcy and what normal is, we have
right.
to examine that too. Like
right.
in our society, it's normal for men to be very competitive and very aggressive. It's normal for women
to be
docile and
weak
and play up to men and stuff. And when you talk about what's normal, you know, we're talking about creating a whole new situation where people can be what they want to be without oppressing other people.
I think there has long been discussion in the press and in books of the tragicness, sheer tragedy of homosexuality, but I think the only tragedy of homosexuality is the incredible waste of human resources that goes from putting your energies into hiding yourself from society, or from worrying about whether or not your parents are going to find out, or
yeah.
just this incredible oppression that we all homosexuals, I think, have. If we didn't have this, how much more productive the United States or any country as a society could be? It's just sheer waste.
Well, I think you can relate that to any minority group
yeah.
at this
right.
point.
Well, it's
it
been,
affects us all.
But especially
been,
us, because
yeah.
we have to kind of go around like this all the time.
Well, it's been very well and truly said many, many times in our country, in our society, there's no black problem, there's a white problem. And I think it's equally true and equally forcefully true. There's no homosexual problem, there's a heterosexual problem.
Mm-hmm.
And I insist that's where the problem lies, not with us.
I think we all agree on that point,
yeah.
Tim, you mentioned before that this thing about the normal attitudes in the society being one of male kind of competitiveness. Does gay liberation or homosexual liberation reflect more of a social attitude as well as a sexual attitude? Moving within a different kind of social attitude?
I think it talks about, really, gay liberation to me is political and cultural revolution in that it means, like, because of what I believe as a gay person, because I know that I cannot be, you know, gay and be free in this society unless, you know, there is a total turnabout of the society's, you know, cultural attitudes in the society's, you know, political system. Like, I don't think gay people can be totally free under capitalism, and I don't think gay people can be totally free in a very sexist culture where there are, you know, preset, you know, prescribed roles for, you know, for men and women. I think when you talk about gay liberation in its total sense, it's like talking about ultimately gay revolution, which means, you know, freedom for everybody. I mean, when gay people are free to express themselves, other people are also going to be free to express themselves, just as you know, when third world people are free, everybody's going to be free. It's part of like a broader social movement, political movement.
But I think we have to be very, very careful not to fall here into the pitfalls of reformers everywhere who have tried to substitute their ideas of what society ought to be for the societies that they're trying to reform, and say, no, you can't have this, you have to have my ideas. And again, I have my own very firm ideas on a number of the subjects you mentioned, capitalism and others, and we may well be in agreement on a lot of them, we may well be in disagreement on a lot of them. But I have no intention of going out and trying to reform my fellow gays. I am trying to add to their options, not to substitute options. I'm trying to create as many choices as possible for my fellow human beings, so that then they, as intelligent human beings, can make their choices. I'm not going to make their choices for them. And if they want to be a capitalist, fine. That's their choice, not mine, whether or not I agree, or anything else, as long as they don't interfere with other people. And I feel you have to be very, very careful in not trying to do just that, to substitute your ideas for the ones that already exist, and think thereby that you're giving people greater freedom when you're simply giving them other oppressions.
Well, I don't think, at least for myself, I'm not out to change the world and all of its ills at this point, but I'm out to make many people aware of the other side of the story, and the good part, not the bad part that they've thought of for so long. I think this is what all of us, in a way, are trying to do. Now, I know there are some gays who believe in the separatism, where they don't want to have anything to do with the straight community. They don't care. They want to make themselves happy and productive, and they don't want to do with the rest of the people. I don't believe that way. I think the revolution entails all of us, straight, gays, you know. I don't think it matters.
Well, I don't either, but, and this is my point, I feel that they are entitled to that view, and they are entitled to live it if they want to, and they are entitled to live it freely. That is their view, and I will fight for their right to have that option if that's the option they want. And I'm not going to try to impose my view and my options on them.
Yeah, but it's a shame they won't come out and fight for our options.
Well, we should all fight for the maximum. We should all fight to maximize freedom for everybody. It's really what it amounts to.
Yeah, did you want to say something?
I was just going to sort of continue that discussion to say that in order to maximize freedom for people, we need to make an analysis of how we're living now and what mistakes we've made in the past and what we can do to improve on those mistakes. And we can't just say everyone should be free to do whatever she or he wants to do. People shouldn't be free to be racist or to be sexist. We need, and I think that we can see in some ways where, like capitalism, as Tim mentioned, fits in with the whole system of competition and domination of which imperialism is a part. And we can, in many ways, understand how to improve on past mistakes. And I think we should encourage other people to change the understanding of things that they were brought up with in this society.
On the other hand, even there, you get into problems. I am not particularly competitive. I don't like competition. There are some people who enjoy it thoroughly. And if a group of people want to go ahead and compete with each other, fine. Just let them not bother me while they're competing, and let them go ahead and enjoy themselves. That's all.
But I think the basis of competition and aggression in this society is to put other people down. That competitiveness and aggressiveness in people and in the system, you know, produces, you know, people who, you know, who oppress other people.
Well, at that point, yes, I'll agree with you. When competition means, or anything else means putting somebody down, yes, then you've got to draw a line.
It is justified at certain times.
Yes.
And they need a good kick in the
to
wake up and realize that it's a problem.
I think the whole issue of competition, however, is one that should be discussed in the context of gay liberation as gay liberation, an organization and a movement, because it's my observation anyway that one of the reasons that gay liberation, capital G, capital L, the organization, hasn't done more than it has is because it refuses to be competitive, even to the point of just sitting around and talking about we don't want to be competitive, but we want to do something. But we don't want to be competitive while we're doing anything.
The whole bureaucracy that hangs over us all has influenced the structure of GLS in many ways.
Yeah.
There are organizations, though, that do exist that are structured and maintain a very slight type of bureaucratic system. but they're workable.
I think a point should be made clear to the listeners at this point. We're using the word gay liberation in two different ways. Gay liberation with a capital G and a capital A, and capital L refers to certain particular organizations. Gay liberation with a small G and a small L refers, at least as I use it, other people disagree with me somewhat, refers simply to the whole movement for equality, freedom, human dignity for homosexuals, what used to be called the homophile movement, and is a broad, diverse, varied movement consisting of many different kinds of organizations. And so the listeners should realize that we may be using the terms gay liberation in two different ways as we talk.
And I'd like to explore the sexual attitudes, I think, a little bit. And because I think that the first kind of block that exists is in terms of this idea of being able to make love with someone of the same sex. That in itself must be a certain kind of liberation.
Well, within the women's movement, there is a political position strongly advocated by some women and being worked into by other women, that to be a lesbian is the highest form of women's liberation, because in that way you completely reject men. You do no longer cohabit with the enemy, as it were, and you have become the epitome of women's liberation.
Do you agree with that?
Do you buy that?
No, I don't, because I don't think you can win a war without confronting the enemy.
I would tend to, perhaps I'm being presumptuous as a man, I would tend to question whether you should really, in that context, consider the men as necessarily the enemy.
I don't. I can disagree on one point, because I think women are very much the enemy within women's liberation as men are, because not only do the men have a need for consciousness raising, but the women that we're dealing with now outside of the women's liberation movement also have a great need for their own consciousness to be raised.
Pseudo-male chauvinists, yeah. Many of them are.
Well, every minority runs into that. The blacks have had enormous problems getting blacks to realize they really are not second-class creatures,
right.
They're first-class, and they should start acting that way. And women the same way.
Gays.
And gays, we're running into this at every turn. Every minority has it. If society tells you long enough that you and your condition are both second-class, even if you don't accept it intellectually, you accept
right.
it at the gut level, and you start to act that way, and it takes an awfully lot of undoing, and every minority group finds this out.
I think what I was trying to get at with my question, though, to go back to that, I think most people in the society really don't have any idea of what it's like to make love with someone of the same sex. Is it as satisfying? Is it as good? Let me put it that way.
I think a lot of times it can be a much better experience than making love with a person of the opposite sex, because I think a lot of times you understand more what it is to share really equally with another person, and to have a relationship with another person on a totally equal and loving basis, where there's not the kind of game playing involved, which is so much a part of male-female relationships.
I think the answer to your question obviously depends on whether you're homosexual or heterosexual. If you're gay, then obviously to make love to a person of the same sex is much better than making love to a person of the opposite sex. If you're heterosexual, then obviously making love to a person of the opposite sex is much better than making love to a person of the same sex. I do feel that probably everybody ought to try both and give them both a fair try.
I think that
don't knock it unless you tried it.
Right, exactly.
I think that for me, coming out was really a very liberating experience, because I was told all my life that I could not love men, that I could not make love to men. And coming out really made me feel very good that mm-hmm. I had discovered for the first time that I didn't have to be competitive and aggressive with other men, that I could love men, that this was like a part of me that I had denied for a long time. And it's, as far as what I feel making love with men, it is that feeling that I feel like closer to, you know, to being like a fuller human being, you know, because I can't express my love for man.
I think just besides the sexual tone, the emotional involvement, the fact, speaking for the men, if I may, the fact that you were always...
Women, go right ahead, Dean, I guess.
The fact that, you know, for so long you're not allowed to touch another man, emotionally not allowed to love another man, has been something hanging over your heads for so long,
yeah.
But I think the gay revolution has also surpassed the sexual tones, and we've gotten into the emotional side of the story, that it's no longer perverted or unnatural to even desire to be with the company of another man for an intellectual, emotional type thing, rather than sexual, for that matter. If it involves sexual, fine. But I think just the liberation of the male in this case, and female also, the women have been able to get away with it for a long time,
yeah.
Kissing and hugging and touching, you know. But it's even helping the female now, I think, to better understand her relationship emotionally and sexually with another female.
Especially emotionally, women are beginning to be able to like the company of other women,
right.
Which has traditionally not been the case in this country,
mm-hmm.
Anyway.
And hopefully, you know, boys' night out will mean boys' night out one day.
What kind of things, I mean, Tim, you're involved in consciousness-raising groups. This has really become an integral part of the gay movement, hasn't it? Can you talk a little bit about that and what goes on at consciousness-raising groups?
Basically, like the way consciousness-raising groups have formed with the feeling in gay liberation that gay people had to get together and know themselves as gay people, that for too long we've been hiding in closets and really didn't know each other, really didn't know, you know, what our feelings about each other were and what our feelings about being gay were. So consciousness raising is really just people getting together, talking about what it means to be gay.
Undoing the damage that society did to you.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about how they're oppressed in this society, sharing, you know, feelings they had about, you know, being in the closet, sharing, you know, their coming out experiences. Like the first couple of sessions might involve just people talking about, you know, their first sexual experiences, how they felt about that, how they feel about, you know, being a gay person in society. And hopefully from those discussions coming to, like, new alternatives. I mean, consciousness raising has helped me get into, like, really examining alternative lifestyles and trying to live an alternative lifestyle in a society that doesn't look very favorably upon that. I think it's a whole lot of things depending on, like, you know, people that, you know, get involved in consciousness raising groups.
Let me just interrupt for a second. If people want to get in touch with any of these people here, they can do that through WETA. Go ahead.
Tim, I was going to ask you, have these CR groups worked best in same-sex groups or mixed-sex groups? Or have there been that many women involved in the CR groups that you've been involved with?
Mainly the CR groups I've been involved with, closed groups anyway, have been either all men or all women. I think there's a lot of information sharing that can go on between, you know, gay men and gay women in a consciousness-raising group. And I also find that at different points it sometimes...
Open Air is seen live each Tuesday night at 8 o'clock. If you'd like to be a participant in the series, call 387-1300.
Has the gay blade been able to really reach the numbers of people you wish it would?
We do 2,000 copies a month, and we're getting an increasingly great amount of response from the blade. I think people were beginning to realize that we still exist.
Will Grandmama clean up at the roulette wheel? Will Polina stave off Alexei's passionate advances? Dostoevsky's The Gambler, tomorrow night.
We'll return to you all for your comments later, but now the president is about to enter the House chamber. So let's switch to the Capitol and NET correspondent Richard McCutcheon.
And at any moment, President Johnson should enter this chamber of the House of Representatives. He will be preceded by the doorkeeper of the House of Representatives, William Fishbait Miller, who will be doing this for the 21st time in his 36 years in that post as doorkeeper. The assembled members of Congress and the invited guests, the doors have opened.
Mr. Speaker, the members of the President...